Well, this morning I want to talk about that thing that's so hard for us to talk about sometimes. I want to talk about praying. And I want to talk about it from the place of being a human being just like you and realizing how hard it is to set prayer as a priority in our lives. But you know, we could argue all day long and all night long about why God set things up this way. God already knows what we need. Why doesn't He just do it? You know, He already knows what we need. Why isn't it just there? You know, and I was thinking this morning how to introduce this subject in a way that would make us realize that God activates heaven on our prayers. God activates angels on our prayers. God answers our prayers, but first we have to pray. If God did things outside of our prayers, it would be a totally different system that He set up. But He said, when you pray, Paul said, I desire that men everywhere lift up holy hands and pray. So God set this thing up this way. Now I realized that, you know, Duke Energy and REMC is good enough to provide electricity for us, but we need to turn the light switch on before the electric kicks in. Come on, somebody. It would be really neat if they could just, you know, do it another way. And it would be free. It'd be really neat if it was free. When we turn that light switch on, it costs us something. When we pray, it costs us something. Yes, the grace of God is free. Yes, the mercy of God is free. Yes, healing is free. But He says, pray. When you have a need, ask. Mark 11:24, when He's talking to His disciples, He said, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. We are commanded to pray, yet we sometimes feel as if the effectiveness of our prayer is wanting. Oftentimes we pray the last thing of the day. How many can admit to falling asleep while you're praying? It's not a bad thing to fall asleep when you're praying, you're talking to God and fall asleep in His arms. That's a cool thing. But when it becomes habit, our prayers have taken on not the important thing that God wants us to. Matter of fact, the Scripture says we should pray unceasingly. So prayer and this freedom that we're experiencing this morning, prayer going forward, needs to take another place in our lives other than what it is. If prayer is down the list a long ways, it needs to be lifted up to the first place, because prayer is no more than conversation with God. Many times when we go to prayer, it's a laundry list. God do this, God do that. It's almost like as if we're ordering God to order our lives. Come on, somebody. We avoid prayer with others because of the priority we have established in prayer. Whenever we have prayer meetings, we're reluctant to come to prayer meetings because we may be asked to pray. It's an awkward thing to talk about prayer because it's not taking the precedence, it's not taking the priority, it's not important as God sees the importance of prayer. As a matter of fact, it's so important that Christ is forever praying before the throne. From a human standpoint, our prayers are but a teaspoon of water in an ocean of words. But from God's viewpoint, it's spoken as a petition to Him. It's like a decree moving the Father's heart and setting into motion a holy cavalcade of activity. Releasing the answer to prayer is what God is waiting for. Here that we just read in Mark 11, there's three action words. Number one is believe. When we pray, believe that you receive what you're praying. This is an act of faith. We're not talking to a God that's busy. We're not talking to a God that doesn't want to hear our prayers. God can hardly wait for us to pray. Come on, someone. That's who He is in our life. He's a prayer-answering God. And if you want to dig deep, if you want to drill down on this, when we pray, it's God laying the need in our hearts to pray back to Him. Come on, somebody. And We have the Holy Ghost, and it's the Holy Ghost praying through us to God, perfect prayer. There's nothing like praying in the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit praying without benefit or knowledge of what we're praying, but God is getting business done, because that's how heaven acts. Heaven reacts to the prayers of the saints. Heaven involves the saints in revival. Heaven involves the saints in healing. Heaven involves, we're involved in first place. If any are sick among you, what do? You call for the elders of the church, and they lay hands on the sick, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. If God didn't put the action in that command, we just lay hands on you and not pray. Touch you and you're healed. Come on, somebody. Some things we've made into a three-ring circus to more fit our lifestyles. But God says, I want you to pray, and I'll react to that prayer and answer that prayer. So the first thing you do is believe. Believe is to have faith in, upon, or with respect to a person or a thing. We believe God is actually able to answer and receive and do the things that we're praying. We're entrusting Him with our spiritual well-being when we pray. We believe. Secondly, it says, believe that you receive. Not only do we believe God can do it, we're receiving what He has. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. I believe I can go over here to Kroger and buy myself some chocolate ice cream. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about the good chocolate. You know what I'm talking about. The double fudge chocolate. I believe I can go to Kroger and they have it. But unless I go through with that action, which my wife would be very unhappy about, when I check it out, I take it home and open the lid and eat it, I've received what I believed I could have. It's the same in prayer. First we pray, we believe that we can receive, and then we receive the answer to our prayer. Now here's the caveat. It may not happen as quickly as we would like it. Prayers are delayed sometimes for a reason and a purpose. It's not that God's hard of hearing. Huh? What'd you say? Could you repeat that? But people get the idea when we pray that we only need to pray once and God hears. Praying more than once is an act of doubt and unbelief. No, the Word of God says to pray and keep on praying. Because God knows His timing. And what it does is exercises our intimacy with Him. To receive is to take to, get hold of. And it even implies in this scripture, it's an implication, it's lambano, and it implicates a violent act of seizing or removing something. So when we pray, we believe that we've received, and we grab onto it and hold on to it until the answer comes. And being willing to release it when God says no. Quiet in here. So the third action it's talked about in this scripture, and it's very important, and here's the reason why it's hard for us to pray. We don't forgive easy. We hold and harbor things against people, and it acts as a crust between us and God. Come on, someone. It's so very important that Jesus mentions it in the context of prayer. He says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. I'd venture to guess 75% of the things that were put in this wastebasket today had something to do with forgiveness. Come on, someone. We need to forgive. We need to walk ahead and forget all that other junk, all that other stuff. We need to release it. Let God take care of it. Come on, someone. Jesus thought it so very important. He says, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. That whole thing about if we don't forgive, God won't forgive us is very real. We have power with God. We have power with God. God said, here's the way I'm going to set this deal up. I'm going to come and forgive you of all your sins. I'm going to make you a new creation. You're going to be brand new. The deal is, you as a new creation now pray And when you pray, that prayer that most likely is being prayed through you by me, I'm using you to pray through to me, and I'm going to answer that prayer that I might be glorified in your eyes because you have partaken in and asked for and received, and now your faith is growing and you are my representative on the earth. How many know when God answers prayer, that gives you some boldness and confidence when people talk to you? What is it about the Lord? Well, the Lord answers prayer. Well, tell me. Well, this is what God did for me. God gets all the glory, but we become a participant in that glory. Not only do we have power with God, but we have power from God. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. So when we pray, we spend time in prayer, especially, and listen carefully, especially when we pray in the Spirit, God is releasing power from you to God to be brought back to the earth in some shape, manner, or form, either by revival or healing or saving somebody, or something is activated and happening in heaven because you had the power and the wherewithal to cry out to God for by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit helps us. He is called the Helper. A paraclete in John 14:26. He's an advocate, one who speaks in our defense. Holy Spirit is always praying with us and through us, and He speaks in our defense. In other words, He's doing warfare against the enemy, and He's speaking good things to the Father about us. Recognition of weakness is not a lack of faith, but an awareness of our position. We realize that without the power of God, we're weak. Total opposite of what the world says we should, you know, if we're whatever field we're in, we should know what we're doing. If we're an athlete, we should be the best. Me, 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 I. The most powerful human being that ever walked this earth said, I can do nothing unless the Father tells me. I can do nothing unless the Father tells me. Come on, somebody. So when we pray, God's activating His power through us. Without Him, we couldn't do anything. Those are some fancy light switches back there, provided by someone that connects somewhere with REMC. But if we stop paying the bill, no matter how fancy they look, it ain't going to work. Hallelujah. If you're getting stronger in the area of self-reliance, you're going in the wrong direction. If you're getting stronger in the area of self-reliance, say, well, I don't really need to pray anymore. I just need to say my morning prayers over my breakfast and pray before I go to bed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Remember that prayer? How many remember that prayer? So what in the world am I praying this for? I don't want to die in my sleep. But many times prayer is relegated to a place where we just pray whenever we have to. No, prayer is built on the premise of intimacy. We're speaking with a holy God that allows us audience with Him. Can you imagine the King of the universe offering you soul, speaking with Him so He hears your prayers and answers your prayers? What an honor. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. If we're self-reliant, we're going the wrong direction. We are leaning totally on the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. We do not know. Not knowing is a good thing. When we know, we talk and we're open for attack. Most things in my life that God does, I pray and He answers, but I don't know a thing unless He tells me. I can imagine things. Come on, somebody. How many have a good imagination? Like the armchair quarterback. Man, if I were on that field, I'd have threw that pass. And it would have went right there. What's wrong? You're an idiot. How many guys are talking like that, especially during the playoffs? You're like, you threw that ball. And we're armchair Christians sometimes. Prayer in its purest sense is agreement with heaven that already has the answer and the victory. See, we move this prayer thing up to a very first part of our lives. Very first thing we do when we wake, we pray all day and we close the day in prayer. Conversation with God, because He's always there. Our words are insufficient because they have already concluded the matter. Pockmarked with doubt, unbelief, and finalities that do not exist. Sometimes we come across a thing in our lives and we say, well, this is just the way it's going to be. No, it doesn't have to be that way. Our connection is with the Holy God that changes circumstances. Prayer. And of course, the Spirit making intercession. He stands alone in His ability to move heaven on our behalf. Holy Spirit moves heaven on our behalf. Scripture says that He groans with words that cannot be uttered. He and Jesus are always interceding for us, and they're in total agreement. Spirit begins to intercede, and Jesus is interceding at the throne. The Spirit speaking through us to the throne, and Jesus praying from the throne, before the throne, and those prayers coming into agreement. How many know? That's a wonderful thing. That's an awesome thing that have happened with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And your prayer has priority attached to it. I don't know how He does it, but He hears every prayer from every person on this globe right now, as if He's listening to you mano a mano, one-on-one. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. So we're steadfast in prayer. That means our habit is to pray. Now this year can be another year where we go down frustrated. We handed you out some Bible reading. We're reading through the Bible this year in chronological. If you didn't get one, it's back here. Make sure you get it before you leave. If that's not, you don't have to read with us, but I encourage you to get through. There's enough read through the Bible yearly things that you can look, you can find them anywhere. I encourage you to read the Word every day. Get the Word of God in you. Digest it just like you do your food. And then pray on a consistent manner. Being steadfast in prayer. Steadfast means to persevere. Be constantly diligent or to attend to assiduously all the exercises, to adhere closely, to attend continually, instant in and instant out. Wait on God in a continual manner. That's what it means to be steadfast in prayer. Always speaking with the Holy God. Come on, somebody. He misses you when we don't pray. You say, how can He miss me? He lives inside of me. No, He wants to commune with you, communicate with you. Prayer is continual. The types of prayer may vary, but we are commanded to live a life of prayer. A continual prayer is immersed in godly character. We have hope. We have patience. God is meeting our needs, and He's welcoming us into His presence. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. So what does earnest mean? Earnestly means to keep awake, to be vigilant, and to wake up. So we continue earnestly in prayer. Be awake and aware of what you're doing and what is around you. When you pray, go into your closet, go into your room, go off by yourself and get, I'm speaking of prayer, intimate prayer with God. Now we can pray all day while we're doing other things. My favorite thing to do is pray in the Spirit while I'm doing something else. If you exercise that, it builds. Scripture says that when you pray in an unknown tongue, when you pray in the Spirit, it's like going to the spiritual gym. You're building yourself up on your most holy faith. But when you pray, when you get in alone with God, get alone with Him. Turn everything off. Don't take a phone with you. Don't take anything with you. Go before the Lord. The spiritual world becomes more real than the physical one that surrounds you. He honors our prayer time. And then the Scripture says, not only earnestly, but with thanksgiving. This is a funny thing. It's a funny thing to me. We thank Him before we receive the answer. How many know that's faith? Well, it doesn't make sense. Why don't I just thank Him and then just receive it? Why don't I just thank Him? God, thank you. I don't need to pray, just thank you. No, God says to pray believing that you receive. So we're asking and receiving at the same time. Thanksgiving is Eucharista. It means gratitude, to actively have grateful language to God as an act of worship, thankfulness, and thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So it says to pray always. There it is again. And readiness and posture of prayer that makes champions. We're champions in God when we pray always. A violent kind of prayer is supplication. It says to prayer and supplication. Praying, God, in the name of Jesus, I come against all of these doubts and unbelief. I come against these things in Jesus' name. I'm walking in victory, and that victory is going to spill out to my neighbors, my friends, my relatives. Come on, somebody. It's time that Christians started to walk as the victors that we are. I've said it before, but I said, Pastor Brad, I don't know where he went. Where's Pastor Brad? Pastor Brad said the worst 4 hours of the week are right after church on Sunday at Kroger, because that's the worst time Christians come in and complain and make a fuss, and nobody wants to serve them. Is that a sad story? Nobody wants to work on Sunday because the Christians. What kind of a life are we living to have that kind of thing come out of? I hear it all the time. I hear it with waitresses. I hear it with people that serve, that we're some of the hardest people to serve. Come on, we should change that. Come on, we should change that. It says to pray always with all prayer and supplication, being watchful. While many claim to be watchmen, not many truly watch. We are watchmen for our generation. Come on, somebody. This day, Jesus said, should not take you by surprise. We should know, we should be hearing from God as a group, as a body, not just a couple of people telling us where God is going. We should all see that. Come on, someone. That's how cults happen. That's how wrong denominations are stirred, because we allow people to go to God and come back and say they heard from God. Come on, everybody should be hearing from the Lord. Different responsibilities, but we should all be hearing from God. Come on, someone. I've always said, can you imagine Moses trying to lead 2.5 million people across the desert, across a wilderness, and nobody saw the cloud and the pillar of fire but Moses? They all saw it. Your sphere of influence is powerful and commanding. You take authority, being watchful. You're a watchman. God tells you because you need to know. You need to know what's going on. And then it says to persevere, persistence. Staying power. God has given it to you in the form of the Holy Spirit. And Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're anxiety free. One of the things that prayer does for us, it unloads all of our problems onto God. When I pray and give things to God, I leave them there because He's the only one that can take care of it. I'm not going to carry it out of the prayer closet on my day. When I do, and I have, and we have, come on, it's miserable. We've prayed, but we're still carrying the burden. And God said, why did you spend time with me and ask me? Casting all our care, Peter said. Another version says, casting all our burdens on Him, for He cares for us. God says, okay, unload. Part of our prayer time should be just unloading on Him, because He can take it. I'll carry it. I got your six. Doing something out of desperation, crying out to God with all prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, His ear is inclined to us. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, always with all prayer and supplication. Different types of prayer in your notes. Ekohemi, a prayer we do not realize. It's a prayer like Nehemiah prayed. God, please. It's a prayer that the Holy Spirit prays through us, and we just obey and speak it out. Eritreo is diligent prayer, not pleading, a petition. The rich man and Lazarus to Abraham. A diligent prayer. It's a prayer that we pray on our knees alone, outside of everyone else, calling out to prayer. And then intense prayer, number 3, diomeia, requesting with praise, a knowledge of who you are praying to. We begin to praise and honor Him. There's where the thanksgiving comes from, before the answer to prayer. And then the prayer of supplication, a violent prayer or intercessory prayer. We intercede. We stand in the gap for someone that is unable to or needs to be saved. We intercede as if they were praying. This is very effective, very powerful prayer. I'm believing my son to come back to the Lord, and I'm standing in his stead, crying out to God as if he were crying out to God. Come on, somebody. God honors those types of prayers. And then a voice of praise, prayer as well. Paul says, I desire, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Everywhere. Do not wait until it's convenient. Pray, knowing that God will answer your prayer. Not in a hateful, impatient, demanding way. That's reserved for the enemy. Pray with deference to Him who answers and cares for our prayers. Taking authority over the enemy is not prayer. It's taking authority over the enemy. When we're standing at the throne, we're interceding outside of the enemy. God's taking care of the enemy. When it's time to turn from the throne and look at the enemy and command him in Jesus' name, we do that. That's not prayer. That's taking authority. Prayer is often misunderstood. Not specific instances necessarily, but prayer, confession, more of an admittance of falling short in our lives is what people think prayer should be. We pray to ask forgiveness. That's just a small part of prayer. Prayer is doing business with God, coming before God, and allowing Him to use us. Your prayers shake things loose here on this earth. Your prayers are mighty. When you pray for the anointing on an area, when you pray for a community, when you pray for your family, when you pray for those things, you are shaking the power of God on those places. When you pray, God dispatches angels. He manifests His Holy Spirit because you've activated. It's like going over on your wall and turning on a light switch. Power has come from the power source. When you do that immediately, we see in the Old Testament when Daniel was praying, he said, as soon as you prayed, the angel of the Lord said, I was released and dispatched to you. It's instantaneous. Having it manifest may take some time, but we pray. Pray for that to happen. We pray for one another. We pray fervently for one another. One of the things I encourage you to do is take the list, the phone list, and just pray for 5 or 6 people every day. You'll find yourself praying for the whole congregation. Once a month or once a week, however many you can pray. Lift them up before the Lord. Watch what God does. Come on. That acronym I've often used, prophetic revelation, adjusting your earthly reality. When you pray, God reveals some things that only can happen in prayer. Can't happen from somebody telling you. Can't happen from preaching. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but our intimate answer from God comes through prayer. So let's set 2019, make prayer a priority in your life. Come on, somebody. Make prayer a priority in your life. So here's what I want to happen. We're setting prayer as a priority. I hope that you experienced the freedom that you desired this morning when we prayed and asked God to release some things. And that you took the challenge and you're going to put something in prayer to make it more important in your life. Next week, next month's newsletter, we're going to have a section of how prayer has changed my life. So you have, I think the Thursday before. Cindy, help me. When do they need to have that into you? By the third Thursday. So that's not next Thursday, but the following Thursday. Please have to Cindy drop it in the mailbox or give it to me or someone, and we'll make sure it goes in the newsletter. We're going to have a section there, how prayer is changing my life. And we're going to have some testimonies in there. Father, I thank you for my dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for their patience, Lord. I thank you, God, that your life is involved in our lives so very much. I thank you, God, that you desire that each and every step we take, we glorify you. Thank you for holding a precedent in prayer as you do. Thank you, Lord, that you involve us in answering prayer by asking us to pray. So, Father, we come before you and we thank you for readjusting our lives, whatever adjustments we need to make prayer a priority. We do that this year for 2019, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen.